Hi, this is Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We're here.
We're here. We were just discussing that we haven't had as much to drink as we did on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah,
but
so that was the last time we recorded. So that's like been, what, a month ago now?
Sure.
Okay, sure. Like just for, we'll just say.
Yeah, it sounds good.
And both of us, I think, have refused to listen to that particular podcast.
Oh, I haven't listened to the last five, actually.
Yeah, okay. To be fair, I mean, we record them. I don't need to listen to them again. We have people. Our people listen to them for us.
I used to, and I would like critique it and think about it. But then I was like, well, that's stupid, because then I start feeling bad about things that were totally innocent. And
yeah, I think like the main thing that I got initially when we first started recording, and I would listen, I'd just be like, oh my God, Rachel, shut up and, you know, just stop trying to like butt in all the time. And so then I just gave up on that. So I'm sorry, I'll just butt in all the time.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. I just especially did not want to listen to the last podcast because I think I drank an entire bottle of wine by myself by the third quarter of the.
Oh yeah. You and I had a good time.
So apparently, I mean, like, when your husband is like, yeah, we should just take you home now.
Well, so during that Super Bowl Sunday, you and I, we set up a date.
We did.
And I stuck to it.
You did.
I actually went and did something.
We had a lady date.
We did. So we went and saw Lady Bird.
Speaking of ladies, yeah. We got lunch.
Yeah, we went to Tower Cafe.
Well, because it's right there.
It is.
Yeah. Where do we even start?
I don't know. We had such a good day, but so we had lunch. We had a couple glasses of wine.
Right. So I got there before you did, and I got there early because I thought the wait was going to be horrible because Tower is usually like a line out the door on Sunday or Saturdays, whatever, Saturday. So I got there and they seated me like a whole 10 or 15 minutes before they said they would.
The whole thing was kind of stressful because I was like texting you out of my hair appointment, like, I think I'm going to be gone now. And you're like, well, I'm going to get a table.
The movie starts at a particular time. And so I got seated and you texted me and asked me to order you a glass of wine. So I did. I ordered two glasses of wine. But the guy, the server just kept looking at me like, are you sure you have a friend coming?
He kept watching to look to see if your lipstick was on the glass.
Right. He's like, are you sure these are just both for you? And like, he's like,
look,
you sad woman, you. And then you finally show up. I'm like, she's here. I have a friend.
Yeah, so anyway, then we had our wonderful lunch. We chatted. Yes. We had an awful lot to chat about.
Yes, we caught up in a lot.
But so there was this young gentleman wearing this Gucci shirt that was sequined. It was a giant cat sequined on his shirt.
Yeah, it was a cat made out of sequins, and it said Gucci. Did it say anything else?
No, just Gucci.
I saw him first.
No, he was behind you. Sitting there at that table, so I saw him, and then he came and went to the bathroom and came back, and you saw him.
So you saw his shirt and didn't say anything to me?
Well, okay, so I didn't know what to say.
Oh, wow. This is...
I'm sorry.
Because let me just get to what I remember.
Okay.
I didn't know you had seen him first. I remember him coming... So I was facing you, obviously, because, you know, that's how we sit at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And
like humans.
Right. He was walking behind... He was coming in my direction behind you, and I think I don't know if you were talking or I was talking, but I gasped and I was just like, oh my God, like, hold everything, we need to see this shirt. And now I'm finding out you had already seen it and you didn't.
I said that actually, though. I said, yeah, I've been looking at him.
Oh,
but there was a lot going on.
At that point, I had two glasses of wine because back to the wine.
Yeah,
I had we'd ordered the wine, and then like more than halfway through the meal, like, somebody, one of the other servers is like, do you want another glass of wine? And we both were just like, okay, sure.
Yeah, but maybe we should have thought about that.
Maybe
more.
Not the smartest choice we made that day.
Wait. Actually, that one would have been fine.
So
what wasn't the smartest thing
was the glass of wine at the movie.
Yeah,
but let's back up to the Gucci Meow shirt.
Yeah.
So so then we're like, we need to tell him how much we like his shirt. And he was okay. And he was with his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's with his girlfriend
or wife or side hustle or something.
She was beautiful.
She was, right?
But
like,
Rachel,
he was with him, whether it was his side chick or his like main lady
or sister,
right? Wasn't his mother?
No, it wasn't his mother.
That was no sister.
But whatever she was,
yeah.
The point was, they were a very attractive young couple.
Yes, and we had to like go up there. We're like, we really like your shirt. He was all, thanks.
And then the girl was like,
I think then we're all nothing. Can we believe now?
It's so embarrassing. But it was embarrassing at the time. It's embarrassing now thinking
right,
about
now
it.
Right, now I'm like, oh my God, I'm a middle-aged lady who approaches young men in restaurants to like...
But I mean, It was a sequined shirt. What were we gonna do?
We obviously had to give him props. So then we go over to Lady Bird, the theater. Yes. And that's when we made our questionable life choice.
Like, what was it? 16-ounce glass of wine?
So those of you who don't know, so Tower Theater in Sacramento, it's like they just recently, in the last couple of months, started serving beer and wine.
As they should.
Right. But it's not just that you can get beer and wine. So you can get a beer, right? Whatever. But you can get wine, and your choices are
a fishbowl,
like regular pour, or basically a fishbowl of wine for like $2 more. It is like three regular sizes. Yes.
So as thrifty as we ordered the fishbowl
because it's a really good deal,
and we don't want to get up again.
Right. And so I think we both got like the white wine or something.
Yeah, we did. And it was to the brim.
They give you the chef's pour. So then, back to the original pour. The whole point of this was that initially we were going to go see I, Tonya.
Yeah. And it wasn't showing until 9:45 at night.
Yeah, so it wasn't playing until 9:45. And so you hadn't seen Lady Bird yet. And Bobby, very graciously, even though he wanted to see it, he was like, that's cool. You know, go ahead and see it without me. And I've already seen it twice. However, I love it so much. Mm-hmm. So I dragged you to see Lady Bird.
It was so great. But two girls with like, I'll just say mommy issues.
We both have mommy issues. We both have complicated relationships with our various mothers. I have two mothers.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of, we have weird families.
Paloma and I, one of the things we bonded on early on in our friendship was like the weird family dynamics and
like nobody's a, and siblings are all weird and
like weird family histories and secrets, right? Like weird things like people don't tell you and then you learn about them, or you learn one thing and then you realize that maybe the truth is much different or just told in a different way. Some people, it's complicated.
We have family issues.
So that's one of the things that Paloma and I bonded on over the years. So anyway, I drag her to see this movie about, you know, a mother-daughter relationship,
which are strenuous anyway.
Yeah. And I don't know about you. This is the third time I've seen the movie. And I swear to God, I cried just as much, if not more, through the entire damn film.
Okay, but you and I sat in the theater for 10 minutes afterwards while I, like, sobbed.
Yeah, I know. The credits start rolling and I just hear you. I hear you going... And I was like, I had Kleenex out and like, we're both like down to the bottom of our wine. And we're just like,
So the sad part is I cried the whole way home.
I'm so sorry.
And then I got home and I tried to tell Bobby about it and I started crying again. I'm crying now.
I'm sorry. I felt bad. I got home and Corey's like, Diploma like the movie? And I'm like, I mean, I think she did. She was crying at the end. So I got home. I didn't tell you. I got home. It was mid-afternoon, like 4 o'clock, whatever time. It was one of those days where it was really warm. And Corey was out in the yard doing yard work. And I get home. I pull up. And I look at him. He's like on his hands and knees, like pulling weeds. Aww. And I was all... He asked me, he's like, you know, do you like the movie? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, you know, I think she did. She was crying. And then I'm like, so I may or may not have had 3 glasses of wine. And I said, I may or may not go take a nap right now. And he's just giving me this like death glare. Like he's out there doing yard work and I'm all laters.
I got home and I think where Bobby knows that maybe when he knows I had day drinking, yeah. I didn't shut up. Like yeah. I talked nonstop for at least 2 hours.
At least you stayed awake. I went to sleep for 2 hours.
Oh God, that must be nice. Aww,
I'm sorry that I dragged you to see a movie about an overbearing mother. But you know, Bobby, don't listen because Bobby still hasn't seen the movie. But I will say this, and no spoilers, but the mother in that film is very complex, and there's times where I think she's very overbearing and other times that I think she's like a wonderful mother.
So the whole time though, I kept thinking about me and my relationship with Rosalie and that mm-hmm. I feel like I could so easily be that mom. I sobbed. There are certain parts of it where I sobbed because I was like, I do that to Rosalie. Like I could be this mom.
And that's
so
the thing. It's
easy.
Like, I feel like it's really easy to say that the mother in Lady Bird is overbearing or I think she's a very sympathetic character. Like she wants the best for her daughter. There are times where she is really awful in how she wants the best for her daughter. Like she doesn't, like she hasn't come to terms with her own issues with her own mother. Like, there's one line in the film where she makes a comment about her mother.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's where, like, a lot of this is rooted in. And
yeah, because her mother was, like, an alcoholic.
Abusive alcoholic. Yeah, and,
that's right.
And there's just, like, there are scenes where she's wonderful with her daughter, like, where it just breaks my heart how wonderful she is with her. And then there's scenes where she's so awful that it breaks my heart. Like,
but I feel like that's, like, first off, I feel like that's every mom everywhere.
Thank you. It's for every.
And I feel like that's even me with Rosalie. Like, I feel like that's the way parenting is. Actually.
I felt like, I mean, I felt like with my mom, I've had two mothers in my life, an adoptive mother and a biological mother. And with my adoptive mother, that relationship in Lady Bird hits so close to home. I'm like, that is the relationship that we had when I was a teenager. Very one moment great, the next moment like hurtful and painful. Oh, yeah. And just like where I felt like I just disappointed her in so many ways.
Every teenager though,
it's got to be. But like the scene, Bobby, don't listen, the scene where she's like, I just want you to like me, and she's like, I love you, and she's like, but do you like me?
I'm gonna cry again.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's when I was a teenager. I don't think my mom liked me, and you know, probably fair enough, but it's still painful.
Yeah,
when you don't think your own parent likes you.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's terrible.
We cried a lot.
Yeah.
We drank a lot of wine.
Yeah, sure did. Gosh, it sounds like tonight.
Huh. Yeah, you know what, guys? So we a little behind the scenes drama tonight.
Rachel, boy, yes.
I haven't seen Plum in, Wellstone has been 2 weeks since I last saw you.
Come on.
I mean, we've texted and stuff. Not like it was radio silence, but you know, we had a little heart to heart tonight before we started recording.
I'll be honest. Since I had Rosalie, I've gotten more and more difficult to get to do things.
Yeah.
And so tonight it was brought to my attention that I need to maybe work a little harder at that.
And it was brought to my attention that you have been making an effort, and I definitely acknowledge that. We went on a date. And we both just, I think that it was a good thing that we were able to talk about it. And there were only minor tears.
Yes.
So,
okay.
And lots of wine.
Yeah.
So we just held a group therapy session.
Well, okay,
anyway.
Well, to be fair. Okay. So I was going to talk about this. I was just going to touch on it. I've been sick for a month.
I know.
I have this like severely deviated septum. I'm supposed to have the surgery. So anytime I get a cold, if I don't keep my sinuses clear, which this time I tried so hard. I really thought I did, but I'll automatically get a sinus infection. This time, I tried so hard when I got sick, but it didn't matter. I got this terrible sinus infection.
So what exactly is a deviated septum?
So this plate up here on my nose goes all the way and touches the other side of my nose.
Okay.
So instead of going straight and having two nasal passages, sorry, everyone, that was great radio, it turns to the side. So I have
pointing to her nose.
So I have one nasal passage that's clear and then one that can not breathe.
Okay.
And so if this gets clogged up, this bacteria gets up there.
You get an infection.
And I get a sinus infection. And it's really disgusting. And I have to take antibiotics, and then I'm...
So yeah, we were initially going to record last weekend, and you had... I think you were still getting over it, and you said your voice was all...
It was terrible.
...nasally. And then I had woke up one day last week sneezing a lot, and, like, my eyes were all bloodshot. I was at work, and I was just, like, a
drunk.
Wreck. No, I was a wreck. Like... So I have like a little in my office at work. I have a little couch.
Aww.
And I shut the lights off, locked my door, and just laid down for half an hour.
You didn't want to come over last weekend.
Well, so that's why when you're like, you're like, my voice is all nasally. I'm like, that's fine. Cause I don't feel like I can. Like,
I don't want to see you anyway.
That's not what I thought. I felt like last weekend I just needed to like not push it because I felt like I was just on the verge of like a full-blown cold instead of just flirting with it. So
well, and so then there was this terrible school shooting,
which I mean, we don't really, I'm sure everybody knows
well,
about
everyone
that
knows about the school shooting.
This one, they're all heartbreaking, right? They're all awful and shitty. And so the day that the school shooting was Valentine's Day, and it happened during the day, and I remember talking to one of my coworkers. So the classes that I teach are in portable classrooms,
mm-hmm.
and they don't lock from the inside.
Oh.
You can only lock them from the outside. So the shooting happened. We were following it on the news, and my coworker was like, "Well, you know, like if something happens, if there's like an active shooter on campus, because you know I teach at a college, we can't lock these doors without going outside to lock them. And she's like, but there's a way to the hinges, like the bar, there's a way you wrap a belt around it. And I'm standing there and I'm like, man, am I going to have like the clarity of mind to grab, because I don't wear a belt, like ask somebody for a belt, get a stool or a chair and get up there, because I'm not going to ask a student to do it. I'm gonna, it's like, that's my job to do it and to get it tight enough. And so I remember like that day thinking about that. And that night, Corey and I go out to dinner and I get a phone call. And it's a number I don't recognize, so I don't answer it. And then, like, as soon as I put my phone down, it stops ringing, and Corey's phone rings, and he holds the phone up to me. It was the same number that had called me, and I was like, okay, maybe you should answer it. And it turned out to be this recording from the school that I work at, mm-hmm. saying that there was a potential crime in progress, you know, and that the school was on lockdown. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting these text alerts about it. Basically, like, if you're on campus, shelter in place. Mm-hmm. Then I use this messaging app with my students who are on the newspaper, and they started texting back and forth. And one of them was at school as this was happening, and her professor had like locked the classroom, made everybody get into the back of the class. Ugh. Another student, her professor had made them all get on the floor. And I just remember I was at home by this point. By the time I got that text, I was at home, and I just remember like feeling almost violently ill for about 5 minutes until the lockdown was lifted, and it was like there's an all clear on everything. But I was mm-hmm. just like, after the heightened emotions, and okay, like violently ill because I'm like, my students are in danger, and then mm-hmm. just second I'm like, what the hell would I do if there was an active shooter on campus?
It's terrifying.
I've had no training, not that I want to carry a gun, let me make that clear, but I've had no training about like what to do if there's one. And then on top of that, it's like, if I'm in my classroom, I have to go outside to lock the door. Well, you're supposed to lock your classroom doors. It's like, well, I have to go outside, so I'm going to be, you know, potentially
your target.
Yeah.
So my stepmother is a sign language interpreter, and she works at the elementary schools, and she after this, so I called her to talk to her about something you know, unrelated, but she was talking to me about it, and she started crying because she had to do a training about like putting kids in cupboards and stuff, like. And so my friend Julie, she was my best friend in high school. I've still kept in touch with her. I saw her a few years ago. She mm-hmm. came through town, but she lives in Florida. She's an emergency room doctor, and her stepdaughter was actually one of the victims of the shooting. She was killed, and her name was Meadow. And so they started this group. And God, I wish I would have checked before I started talking about it. But I think it's like Meadow's Promise or Meadow's mm-hmm. Message or something. And it's just been a really surreal thing to watch them go through it, because I'll see her husband like on Fox News. I'm like, wow, like how weird is it that this happens so often now that I know somebody on the East Coast who's affected by this?
Well, like, that's the thing. It's like, because you sent me a message about that the day or day after that it happened. You sent me that message about you knew somebody whose daughter or stepdaughter. And, you know, in the week after the shooting at the high school, inevitably there comes all the conspiracy theories, right? About how
they
had
those about Sandy Hook, though. Right, right.
So that's part of my point. So it's like the conspiracy theory. They start to have these conspiracy theories that these students, the kids who have been going on TV talking about it, about what has happened to them and how they're calling for gun control and gun reform. And all these people like are attacking them and saying they're, you know, crisis actors, and they're trying to prove that. And so I was
those are amazing actors then. Because let me tell you something. Right? Even Angelina Jolie can't do that shit.
So I teach a class called Mass Media and Society. And part of what we talk about is media effects and media literacy. How do you become media literate? How do you decode quote unquote fake news from real news? How do you determine if things are legitimate, etc.? So this was last week. I started the class and I was like, I just want to talk about the shooting that happened and this whole media conspiracy thing that started with Sandy Hook with Alex Jones, who does InfoWars. And I'm like,
oh, my eyes just rolled.
I know.
Hard.
And so I'm like, listen, I told my class, I'm like, you guys are smart. I know that because we have discussions every day and you are thoughtful and you ask interesting questions and you have critical thinking skills. But I'm like, how do you make sure, you know, if you're not the person, like sharing these stupid viral videos or viral mm-hmm. news stories, how do you call BS on your friends and family who do. And so I brought up your friend. I said, you know, my best friend, you know, her best friend from high school, her daughter, you know, and I said, you know, I said, it feels like we're at a point in our lives where it's 6 degrees of separation. Like, we are all going to know somebody who was affected by something like this. And I said, I have a friend, another friend whose stepdaughter was at the Las Vegas shooting, the concert when that mm-hmm. happened. One of the students in my class raised her hand and she said, I lived in Connecticut during Sandy Hook.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And she said, I lived down this. She's like, I lived just a few miles away from that school. And I knew, you know, I can't remember specifically what it was, but she knew somebody who had either been killed or had lost somebody in Sandy Hook. And she's like, I remember, you know, when those conspiracy theories first started happening. And she's like, just like the outrage that I felt that somebody mm-hmm. would. And it just brought me back to what you're saying. It's just like, we at some point we are all going to know somebody
yes.
who's been impacted by this, who's had that has had an impact on them. And yet, I mean, what kind of person says that's not that didn't happen?
The Sandy Hook one especially, and I did not that any tragedy is more tragic than another. Sorry, that's a weird sentence, but
I got gotcha. You.
Those are like
babies.
Little kids. Not that a 17-year-old or 18-year-old deserves to die.
No, but I remember. I still remember. I mean, I have cried over the Parkland shooting. I have cried a lot, particularly because of the bravery that I've seen in the teenagers who've been speaking out. Like, every time I hear or see them, I just, like, I'm amazed at their strength and their bravery and what they're dealing with. They're just more adult than, you know, most adults. But the yes. Sandy Hook thing, I still remember the day that that happened. And when I realized it was kindergartners, and, yeah, I remember just breaking, like bursting out in tears. It's like, how do we let this happen?
Well, the thing is, I just registered Rosalie for kindergarten.
Yeah.
And so just even like thinking about that and like, but you know what? At the same time, it's, I have to send her to school.
Right. We have to live our lives, you know. God, do we have anything lighters to talk about? Sorry,
so,
you guys.
Here we go. Guys, I'm going to tell you about something.
Bring it down or bring it up.
Oh, wait. Well, in my mind, it's bringing it down. But I might bring you up. Okay, so my child.
Deep breath, reset.
Is obsessed with these things called LOL dolls.
Which I had never heard of until tonight.
These little dolls, would you say they're probably like about 2 to 3 inches tall? They have these big heads, these chubby little bodies, like kind of like baby limbs, but they wear makeup.
I don't know what baby limbs are either.
Baby limbs? Like arms and legs are kind of chubby.
Okay.
Limbs.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Sorry.
I thought this was some other like.
No, but then they wear makeup and these grown up outfits. Like they wear kind of like booty shorts
and
stuff.
They got little hot pants on. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the thing is when you get them, you put them in ice water because you have to see they do three things. They either pee, cry, or spit. Or they change colors. Actually, yeah.
They spit.
They spit or pee.
No, I'm used. Okay, I'm used to dolls that pee because every little girl probably had the baby doll you give water
life.
To
okay.
and they pee.
Fair
but
enough.
Spitting?
Yeah, they spit, cry, or pee, or change colors, and some of them have tattoos to show up.
Yeah, they had the
but
one
babies.
Had, the one had like a little anchor tattoo. It was just like, is she going down to the dock? After
okay,
this?
But so here's the thing. So when I first saw, she first wanted when I got the first one. I was like, oh my god, what did I buy my child? And then she wanted another one. I'm like, oh okay. But then I'm like, oh, I kind of like these. And now I'm like, oh Rosalie, I wonder if we'll get this one. Like all excited. Like today, I was so excited. I bought her this. It's just like it's the mermaid set, but it's just like not emerald green, kind of like more turquoise
like
and beautiful, sparkly green ball with these two mermaids, and they come in this shell that is a bath bomb.
Uh-huh.
So you dissolve the bath bomb, it bubbles everywhere, and then you get the toy inside the bath bomb. I mean, really, like, I gotta hand it to them.
I actually, that sounds pretty good.
It really is. Bobby was really mad at me. He's like, how much was that? I'm like, $30. Oh, I can't believe you bought that. But then after it was all done, he's like, well, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, see? She doesn't need to go to college. She's got these. Yeah.
So anyway, LOL dolls are
good. LOL dolls.
They're a big part of my world, so that's pretty fun.
No, yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah,
and we Rosalie was showing them to me earlier tonight.
Speaking of friends,
what?
We got a friend request.
Oh yeah, I was going to tell you about this earlier. Okay, so
Wait, by the way, I want to tell everyone how hard it is for Rachel and I to do this show because we have to like hang out with each other for an hour but not talk about anything.
We're always like, no, don't tell me about that. I'll be like, hey, did I tell you? Oh, never mind. I'll save it for the show. No, don't tell me that.
So anyway, now yeah. I finally get to hear this.
So we're finally, so you and I have both been on Facebook for a while, right? And so
since 2010.
You know, so we still I still get friend requests. Kind of on the regular, but not as much because it's like most of the people that I know in my
LeBrock.
What?
Hot stuff LeBrock still getting friend requests.
Well, no, you know what I mean? It's like most of my friends in real life.
Oh, yes.
I'm friends with on Facebook.
Okay.
And in my capacity of my jobs that I've had with either as a professor or as a journalist, I get dancer. Friend requests. Dancer? Did you say dancer?
Come on. Play along.
You're not supposed to tell people about that. Sorry. Anyway, I get friend requests, but they tend to, I feel like I'm at a point in my Facebook career where like 90% of the Facebook requests I receive are from people that I'm like, I have no idea who you are.
That's
like,
fair.
Right. It's like some friend of a friend of a friend, or we have like, maybe we might have like 100 mutual friends, but I still don't know you and I don't necessarily want to know you.
Yes.
And also sometimes I'll, depending on what the situation is, sometimes I'll accept like, oh, you're an artist. It looks like you kind of do interesting things. You know, maybe that's somebody, you know, that I'd like to learn more about. Anyway, this was not the case yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
So yesterday I get a friend request. And I don't remember what the person's name was, but it's a guy.
Okay.
And he's
of course
young,
it is.
He's younger.
Oh.
Like probably in his late 20s, maybe early 30s, probably late 20s. And I was like, I'm like, okay. And I'm like, we have one mutual friend. I was like, okay.
Ooh, who is it?
Oh, I looked. So I can't name names, but the one mutual friend was this guy I went to high school with who is now in prison.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, and he's in prison. So here.
Yeah, what's he in prison for?
Oh, I don't even know if I want to say.
Oh, come on.
Okay. So let me just back up. So let me back up. So obviously I've been friends with this guy, the guy I went to high school with before he went to prison.
I hope he wasn't in prison in high school.
No. So like whenever I joined Facebook somewhere within the next couple of years, he sent me a friend request. And then at
from
one
the joint.
No. So he was on Facebook and he was like semi-active, right?
Okay.
And then at one point, I didn't even notice it, but another friend of mine who was friends with him in high school, he was like really good friends with him. And I was sort of like casual friends with him. We were kind of part of the same circle of friends.
Okay.
This other friend sends me a message on Facebook and he's like, hey, you remember so-and-so? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, I just want to let you know. He's like, I don't know how good of friends you or how much you've kept in touch with him, but he just went to prison for basically inappropriate relationships with minors.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I don't know all the details and I have not looked it up because I really don't want to know. But I take that back. I did look it up a little bit because I was a little, no, honestly, because I was just like, I'm like, is this guy pulling my leg, right? Like, is this real? And I looked up his name. I'm like, oh, no, he's on the sex offender registry.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, yeah. And so then at a certain point, you know, if somebody's inactive on Facebook or they delete their account, it like turns to they no longer have their profile photo.
Oh, it's the blank thing.
So yeah. That's what his profile photo has been forever. And I've never unfriended him. I think there's like a weird curiosity I have about it.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, out of nowhere, I get a friend request. It's like you're the one mutual friend is this guy who's now in prison for whatever he did. He's now on the sex offender registry.
Okay.
So I'm like, delete request. Like, nope, don't need to be friends with you. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, but
I've never heard of you. So today, I get another friend request.
It's the guy.
No, different person.
Okay.
Same mutual friend. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what are the chances of getting friend requests with the same prison dwelling?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, wait, there's a photo now on his profile. Is he out of prison? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, this is getting really weird. Is he out of prison and bringing all of his friends with me? So I go look at it and the photo is not of him. It's of a woman.
Uh-oh.
Scantily clad. And I go and I look at the page.
Oh, he got hacked.
He got hacked. Long story short, he got hacked.
Sorry. I didn't mean to break.
But I was like, he had like four. What the interesting thing was, is like he had four or five people posting on his page. Thank you for adding me as a friend. And they were all of them were like Eastern European names with like broken English. Like the English was like very, like I should find it was like thank you, friend, adding me. You know, and I was like, what's happening here?
Russian bots?
Yeah. And then I look at the photo. I'm like, that's not the person I went to high school with. That's like a 20 something year old like woman who is looking for a good time. And it was so so just, you know, to cut to the chase, I also hit delete.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, speaking of young women looking for a good time, I got a new cat.
Good segue. Nicely done.
Thank you. She was living under a house, and then my husband's coworker found her and took her into his house, but he has two dogs, and they were causing her stress. So we got the cat, but Rosalie named her. She named her Doughy, which is Zoe with a D.
Which is, Zoe is a cat that Corey and I have.
Yeah. So she named her Doughy, which is fine. It's a cute name. But first, when she first named her Doughy, I thought it was like Doughy, like, you know, like pudgy little mush ball. But nope.
She, and let me say, she is a really cute cat.
She's sweet. She's tiny.
She's very pretty. She's got a really pretty color. And I can tell she's really sweet.
She is. Yeah. Very sweet. I wrote myself a note about her, but I can't read it. Interesting. Huh. Well, anyway.
Get
I
used
got
to it, Doughy.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Now I know what it was. I wrote myself a note. I thought it was about Doughy, but it was not. This is so stupid. I can't even believe I'm about to say this. But last night, Bobby and I went to this pizza place in Woodland. Mm-hmm. It's called Mod Pizza. It's like a Pyrology where they make you
I've
pizza
heard of
there.
It. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the young man making our pizza was probably like 17. Probably 17. But you could tell he worked out and he cared about his various muscles on his arm.
Okay.
But at one point, he was making his pizza and flexing his arms and then like looking at him.
He's all check me out. And he's all telling himself to check himself.
So funny.
What does that have to do with Doughy? Oh, Doughy like pizza?
I just wrote myself a note. No. I just wrote myself a note, but I thought it was about Doughy. But my handwriting, this is like a third glass of wine, so it doesn't, nothing's making sense now. It just was a scribble.
Okay. You guys, welcome to our friendship.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, is it time for Boring Corner yet or what?
Yes, it is. So,
I think you have the first Boring Corner tonight. Because Boring Corner actually isn't really Boring Corner tonight.
Well, tonight we are like, actually Paloma said to me, do we have to talk about Donald Trump tonight? Can we just not?
Yeah.
And I was, and then we were kind of joking that we would try not to, but the conversation would keep going back to Donald Trump because, oh my God, this is our life.
Yeah.
And then I joked that we should just put Trump in Boring Corner because it's such a...
It's the standard now.
It's the standard now. This is our life. And it's not boring because so much is at stake, but it's sort of like, how are we not done with this yet? How have we all not collectively agreed as sane human beings that he is the craziest, most batshit, inept, insane...
I'm literally scratching my head.
Dementia addled, like,
oh my God,
like human being to ever, you know, to ever be in
occupy
a position
the
of
White
power.
House,
it's just bizarre. Yeah. So,
okay, so tell me about, you have something to tell me about Megyn Kelly, and I've been anxiously awaiting this.
Oh, yeah,
so
which doesn't really have anything to do with Trump, except that Megyn Kelly was a Trump foil for a while.
Well, yeah, we used to talk about her a lot. Because
we used
that was
to, and you know,
he said that she had blood coming out of wherever.
And I have very, you know, I have complicated feelings about Megyn Kelly.
I
feel like she is a complete idiot at some points and a conservative sort of like borderline neo-Nazi. But then other times I'm like, oh, she's actually like smarter than I thought.
Smart and strong.
You know, so it's complicated. But so this friend of mine who I've known for, my friend Robin, I don't think Robin listens, but if you do, Robin, you're awesome. I love you.
Aww.
I've known her for more than 20 years. She's a writer and she's a yoga person and a writer. And she wrote this memoir about the end of her marriage. And I don't want to give it all away, but it's like an amazing memoir about deciding she wanted to be in an open relationship and what happened to her marriage as a result of that. And the book came out, I think it came out 2 years ago, but it's still, so I think that's why I have not seen the Megyn Kelly thing yet. I need to watch it online, but she had this post on Facebook and she was like, you guys, I'm going to be, Megyn Kelly show called me and I'm going to be on her show on Thursday. And so she also had a post on Facebook, like, I guess Thursday morning, like from the green room of the Megyn Kelly show, and they had like done her up in all this makeup and stuff, and like it was really cool. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, so my friend Robin Rinaldi, you should all buy her book because she's awesome. Yeah, I was
I'm
just like,
and
here's the funniest thing. So Robin is like super, she's like this East Coast, really funny, super strong, like uber feminist, like tough chick. And she has this post and she's like, if you guys think I'm too feminist to worry about what I'm going to look like on the Megyn Kelly show, you are wrong.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, and I was like exactly.
I'm sorry. None of us are above that.
Right. Exactly. I was like, thank you. Cause I would be like, does this make me look?
Exactly.
Yeah. So wow. That was my boring corny.
Well, okay. So my, like, I would say, I don't want to call her, I don't idolize people actually. And mm-hmm. there's nobody that I like really look up to or really want to be. But this woman, Stephanie Ruhles, she's a news anchor. I don't really know what to call
MSNBC,
her.
She's MSNBC, right?
She's a news personality. She is so smart and like so tough and just everything that I want Rosalie to be. Like, mm-hmm. I want to put her on in the morning so Rosalie can listen to her and like think that that's
absorb
what you're supposed to be. But anyways, I listen to her every morning and mm-hmm. I think about how awesome she is. But the other day she had this guest on and they're talking about the trade war that Donald Trump single-handedly started.
Bless his heart.
But the guy that she had on equated it to Mean Girls and it was so funny.
I am so confused
by
this.
So he's like, okay, so in Mean Girls, so, and I don't know the characters' names, but who is the blonde girl in Mean Girls? Like the mean
the
girl.
Main one. I don't know her name too, but the main, the Rachel McAdams character.
Okay, yeah. So she's the United States where she got to call all the shots and tell everyone how it was going down with Steele. But then Lindsay Lohan shows up, which is China.
Okay.
And kind of starts trying to make things happen.
Okay, sure.
And at that time, Lindsay Lohan, a.k.a. China, doesn't really have good intentions.
Yeah.
And they do some mean, backhanded things, but they come out victorious because Rachel McAdams got a little too cocky and wanted to have this world and thought that she owned everything and wasn't paying attention or being nice.
Have you seen Mean Girls?
I've not.
Oh, okay. Because here's the thing. The Lindsay Lohan character always has good intentions. She has good intentions in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then there's that sort of third act arc where she becomes too caught up in being popular and she doesn't have good intentions. And then she comes around to her senses and is the good person again.
Okay.
So is China now in the third act of its...
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the argument doesn't hold up. Person who said that on Stephanie Ruhles' show.
Yeah, I know. The thing was, it was just so funny.
Because I've seen Mean Girls several times. It's a great movie.
Okay. I don't know why I've not seen
it. It's totally streaming. You should watch it. It's really
it's
funny.
It's totally streaming. Thanks, Rachel.
Sorry.
That's a good
one. It's really good.
No, and Bobby always tells me it's good. I just have never seen it.
Yeah, it's a very funny movie. It's funny. It's like it's 10 years old now, but it's still pretty relevant.
It's just so funny on my way to work to hear this trade war referred to.
That's why
Mean
it's
Girls.
Like, I'm like, okay, Lindsay Lohan is China. Yeah, but his explanation of that, of that, why she symbolizes that kind of false flag.
Let's find it online after this.
Okay.
And if we need to write like an addendum or something, we can. Okay.
Fine.
Because
fair
maybe
enough.
Since I haven't seen the movie, maybe I don't. Cut me some slack here.
Right. Okay. No, this isn't about you. This is about the person who said that it was Mean Girls.
Okay.
But I'm not blaming you.
But I'm kind of vouching for him, though. Even though I don't even know his name.
Okay. Then we got an issue.
Anyway, that was really funny. And it's been this tumultuous week. And there's like this revolving door at the White House. And
as usual, that's just par for the course. I mean, this week it's Hope Hicks. Who's it next week?
Donald Trump is a terrible person. And I don't understand what's happening to our country and how people are
speaking of China. Did you hear about Trump's comments today about how he's glad that China now is that the president of China has enacted, you know, like a president for life, like whatever.
Well, he's trying to, but it happened.
I thought it happened. Okay, you guys, I've had three glasses of wine.
See, this is the thing. This is why. Let's not listen to this one. Okay.
Okay. We will not. Either way, my takeaway from this is my takeaway is that Trump was like basically like president for life. That's a great idea. Maybe someday we'll have it here.
What?
Yeah.
That's not even funny or amusing.
Thank you.
Or entertaining.
No.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
No, because we won't have that here. You know why? Well, never mind. We don't know why, because it could happen.
Right, because anything could happen at this point. We didn't think he was going to get elected. That's why anytime anything happens, I'm like, ha, 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 ha.
Man, okay, we're not going to leave it like this. Come on, Rachel. This is why.
But did anything else good?
No. Nothing good happened.
I love you.
I love you too, but come on, there's got to be something good.
Sorry, guys.
See, the Olympics. Yeah. I don't watch TV anymore. I don't have anything there. Westworld's coming back.
I don't watch Westworld.
Oh, man.
We've been watching Black Mirror, but that's not the subject we wanted. That's not going to leave us on a high note.
Boy, there's got to be something.
Boops. We're already planning Corey's birthday.
Yes, we are already.
Which isn't until October.
No, that's funny. I've already booked Rosalie's birthday
and
party.
And we're already planning your birthday.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to be 40, though. That's fair.
No, so we should be planning it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm planning it. Here's the thing. You know what? This is the note that we're going to leave it on.
Okay.
Life is fucking batshit crazy these days.
Okay.
It's surreal. We have a democracy that is 100% in danger.
Yes.
But we try to find the high points where we can. And if that means planning one's birthday 6 months in advance.
Yes.
That is what we do.
I booked Rosalie's venue for her birthday, and her birthday is June 28th. We've booked the venue for my birthday, and my birthday is September 25th.
Okay, so I need to get on whatever we're going to do for Corey's birthday.
Yeah.
Which is October 29th.
I need to get on that.
And then I'll probably just be brain dead by my birthday, so we don't need to worry about that one too much.
My birthday, there's going to be a show at Old Ironsides.
I know, it'll be fun.
I'm so excited.
It'll be super fun.
I hope. I mean, it's not a show for me. Like, you'll still have to pay a cover. People have to go there. Like, it's a regular show.
Yeah.
But it's this one I get to go to.
Well, that is a good thing.
And, like, have a little say in, I guess. Yes. I don't know. Yes. But that's it. It's not like...
So, that's something that we are looking forward to. And I think that's my takeaway, is that life is crazy and weird. And we have a government that is just completely...
Rachel, are we going to go get sad drunk? Is that what's happening
here? I think
so. Okay.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
Well, thanks for listening, you guys.
No, come on. Happy thing. One happy thing. We had great pizza tonight.
We did.
Okay.
I was saving that for the credits.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to go now.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Good girls don't. This is just a farce at this point. Good Girls Don't was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock.
Yeah, yes.
It was engineered by Bobby Jordan with a lot of pain.
Yeah, and Paloma Jordan. Bobby Jordan tonight.
Yeah, a lot of it was. We almost didn't record tonight.
Very close.
So Bobby Jordan and Paloma Jordan, babysitting and chauffeur duties provided by Corey Vick.
Good job,
Corey.
He was
a little grumpy tonight, so we'll see, if he actually listens to this and calls me out on me calling him out.
Super grumpy.
Lovely, tasty catering provided by Bobby Jordan and Paloma Jordan. Some really good pizza and a salad worthy of rivaling Zelda's. Iceberg lettuce salad.
Well, I was trying to make a Zelda salad, but you guys told me I put too much love in it.
Right. You got, if you've never been to Zelda's, go there and order the iceberg salad and just revel in the experience.
Yeah, but apparently I wasn't grumpy enough.
You were not grumpy enough. Although I think Corey's grump might have carried it.
You know what? That salad did have some Corey grump in it.
Yeah. So on that note, thank you very much. Good night.